Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you want to get in the conversation, come over to reallibertymedia.com, get in the chat room, say hello, start a conversation, ask questions, challenge me. I'll probably say some stupid stuff. This should be entertaining, though. That's my goal, always. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I do love NASCAR, though. I heard NASCAR's going to, is it Chicago next year? Going to do a street race in Chicago. That'll be cool. Anyway, got to stay focused today. Man, I got a lot of interesting stuff to share with you. Hope you enjoy it. Oh, I wanted to thank everybody who downloads the podcast from their favorite podcast server, you know, Spotify, Pandora, Deezer, all those places. There's like 12 or 13, 14, I don't know, 15 of them. And I appreciate the downloads. I appreciate the support. You know, I was thinking today, I had to go to town a few times today and a bunch of times yesterday. We were getting ready for a little family gathering not next week. Yeah, a week and a half from now. So, of course, the landscaping needed touched up, you know, like a bunch of new, you know, we got to bring in some round rocks, some dark bark of mulch, and then some cedar chips, and that's all getting spread around and, you know, put in its proper place. So I had to make several trips in the F-250 to get that done all day yesterday. Let's see, I think I made four or five trips yesterday and two trips today. It was pretty dang busy, but while I was driving, you know, and listening to some of my favorite personalities that I listen to either on podcast or on the radio, I was thinking, you know, I love doing this. I love preparing the show because I get a chance to get off of my chest and my mind what irritates me. Some, you know, a lot of stuff that irritates me and a lot of stuff that I just find interesting and like to share. Like I've talked about meteor showers before and a comet in the sky and a lot of animal stuff. I was talking about that parasitic zombie worm, whatever it is. I forget what it's called already. But, you know, just stuff that's interesting. And also because there's so much BS, man. And until we, all of us, challenge the narrative that we're fed every single day, it's not going to change. We are the change. You know, and I think mainstream media knows that. People are going lots of other places to get their information. And I encourage people to start a podcast. I don't care if there are millions of people speaking their mind, and I don't care which side they're on as long as they're telling the truth, which will never happen because people lie, and that's cool. I mean, it happens, but, you know, have the conversation. Let's get it out and talk about it, man, because the way we're going, there's not a pretty peaceful end to this, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. So, yeah, I was basically, what I'm saying is I'm tired of the BS. And so my chance to kind of challenge the BS is to have my own show, do my own podcast, and share my own ideas. They're not always going to be what everybody else believes. Hell, probably not even 50% of the people who listen necessarily. Actually, that's not true because, you know, you find a podcast you're interested in, you kind of tend to agree with them. But it's an opinion. And it's based on source material. That's what I like to do. I always like to find the source material that I'm going to use to talk about. And then we can have a discussion about, here's the source material. You know, let's go. Let's talk about it. I had, in the past, I've talked about some of the stuff I use to do the show, the software I use. And I don't think I've ever talked about the hardware. Maybe I should sometime, because I want people to do it. And I want people who, you know, want to do a podcast to do it in the best way possible and the cheapest way possible. I'm fortunate that I could probably have whatever equipment I want and whatever software I want. I use Linux software because it's free. It's community supported. It's constantly updated. It's easy to use. If you can use Windows, which, you know, the funny thing is, a lot of people today, the younger generations, they're not even using computers anymore. They use their phone or they use a tablet. And they're, you know, a lot of them are Apple users, so, you know, they don't have the Windows problem. But, man, you can't get better than free software that does everything that Windows will do. Everything. And it does it better, and it does it more securely. So that's why I use Linux, because it's awesome, and it's reliable, and it's secure, and it constantly works, except when Windows screws with it. But I don't have that problem anymore, because I no longer have a dual boot system. I have only Linux running the show now. So you all know that I started flying a drone. I got a new drone recently. And it's a DJI Mavic Air 2 drone. It is an awesome drone. Now I've got to fly it a number of times. That thing is kind of mind-blowing in the technology that's built in the drone, the stability in the camera. You can see some of the videos up on, I think I put them up on Rumble and BitChute. You can check them out there, they'll look okay. But here's the deal: when you upload a video to Rumble and BitChute, it doesn't matter what you have shot it. I shoot at 4K, UHD, 60 frames per second. Usually, sometimes I go down to 50 or 40 frames per second. But when you upload your video, they reprocess it to whatever fits their platform. Because I'd watch my videos and I'd be like, man, it just doesn't look as sharp as it does when I play it right here on my computer. So, you know, there's some quality loss there, but still, I mean, it's drone footage. It's not like you have to see who won at the finish line and it's a 1/1000th of a second difference or something like that. It's just some drone video of our place here. So I hope you enjoy that. So when I uploaded the drone footage, I was like, why can't I just cut parts out of my video and upload it in the native state that I, you know, recorded it in? And so I started looking around for another video editor. I use open source. That's what I've used up to today. But this morning I decided I'm going to go look for a Linux software version. And I found Kden Live, Kdenlive. And it is a beautiful program, like gorgeous. Runs perfectly smooth, fast. Maybe because it's actually built for a Linux system, so it uses Linux well. Not that OpenShot doesn't. I just find the user interface for Kden Live is much nicer to use. I've only used it this morning, like for an hour or so, so I'm not real familiar with it. But you're going to see a lot more video processing through there, which still won't fix my problem, because still when you upload to BitChute, Rumble, and Odyssey, they're going to take away some of your quality. So that's one of those things why people will continue to upload to YouTube because you get native video on YouTube and it looks gorgeous. I don't really even fight with myself about whether or not I'm going to upload to YouTube or not. I'm not. Okay, maybe someday I will. But I just don't feel like supporting a platform that censors people. And I'm good. I'm not trying to make money here. I'm having a good time. I'm having fun. I like to share what it is, hopefully, that I can pass on and entertain you a little bit along the way. So we are heating up out here in the West. You know, the Pacific Northwest has enjoyed this beautiful stretch of nice, cool, mild temperatures all the way till what is today, July 20th. And we're finally starting to get these days that are hot, like we actually would consider them hot. You know, I think it was like 91 today or something. Hang on. Yeah, like 91. It's pretty toasty. Let me check the outdoor temp. That says 95. That's not right. Let's check this one. Nope, that's not right. Let's just say it's 90. It's a toasty, warm 90 degrees. Now, I know a lot of the rest of the country is really suffering, and even overseas are having this heat wave. It's crazy. Yeah, and I know the rest of the country has had, I mean, Texas has been in three figures for, I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that, and they got another stretch ahead of them, and they're suffering, man. So, I know, not looking for sympathy here or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, that nice stretch of comfortable weather is behind us, and we're probably going to be hot for about 6 weeks. Well, so what? It'll be nice. I'm not kidding. It's been so nice that I've probably talked about this before. We get this nice breeze from the ocean. We're 40 miles from the coast here, and this nice breeze comes off the ocean, comes right through this little corridor that's in the coast range between us and the ocean. And it funnels that wind right through Yamhill Valley and kind of blows the heat out. So it's always really nice here. Very few days do we not get that evening breeze to blow out the heat. So I'm very fortunate about that, and I really enjoy it. It was one of those treasures that after we bought the house and lived here a year or two, we were like, wow, that's crazy, man. This, even on those really suck hot days, you know, when it's 106 or whatever, it's still that wind comes up. Maybe 4 or 5 days out of the year that wind doesn't pick up in the evening. It's extremely rare. So I do love that. So on the homestead here, we've been harvesting cherries, and we have blueberries that are ready to pick and eat. There's just a few. But we have a bunch of bushes, so they're all going to start. I mean, they all have blueberries. It's all looking really good. Seems like I have to hang on, drink. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, what was I saying? I have no idea. Oh, yeah. Breeze. Yeah, the breeze that was blowing. No, that is nice. I was going to move on to whatever's next here because we're already like 15 minutes in. That's cool. I told you, the fastest hour. Oh, no, I know what I was going to say. It's like every single day there is another threat to the food supply or the supply, like stuff you're looking for, stuff you would like to have. And, you know, it's one of the things we're doing here is just trying to prepare as much as we can prepare, you know, do as much as we can to survive and to help some other people out. And, that's all you can do. I mean, that's all you can do. And, we're going to try and do as much of that as we can. I wanted to specifically shout out the guy, and I don't know why I'm kind of having this hesitation to use his name, but I want to shout out I'm going to call him my brother in arms in Indiana, who shot and killed the dude who was going to go wreak havoc and did wreak some havoc in a mall in Indiana. How many times have I come on here and said, where are my concealed carry people? Where are the people with the guns when you need them to stop somebody? And lo and behold, this 22-year-old hero comes out of the blue. I'm loving every minute of it. He shot and killed this Indiana mall shooter with a Glock 9mm, perfect gun for concealed or not. And so far, people are saying it was a pretty amazing shot. I mean, for especially a 22-year-old guy, no law enforcement and no military training. And he shoots the shooter, they say, from 40 yards away. I can do that. I don't know if I could do it in a real-world example. I've done it on paper lots of times. I'm telling you, man, when adrenaline starts flowing, and I'm sure that guy was feeling some adrenaline. But whatever training he had from his grandpa taught him about guns and taught him to shoot, and he shot, and he practiced shooting, and he felt confident enough to draw his weapon at 40 yards, a handgun, and pop this guy. Shot 10 rounds, hit him 8 times. He hit a dude who was shooting people. He hit him 8 out of 10 times. And the shooter actually returned fire one time before he went down. 8 out of 10. Now, I'm not sure he was 40 yards away the whole time. People said he was advancing and telling people to get behind him and get out. That's amazing. Amazing, amazing, and thank you, thank you, thank you, that we don't have to deal with that scumbag anymore. Don't have to listen to a trial and listen to him whine about his upbringing or whatever. He's gone, eliminated, gone. And I do want you to keep in mind, that young man who shot and killed the other young man, the shooter, he shot and killed somebody. That's not going to be something that he just puts, you know, away and doesn't think about anymore. Because taking a life is serious. It's serious. A human life, especially. Well, unless you're an abortionist, of course. But this guy, he's got a road to hoe here. Yeah, but thank God he was there, man. I am very proud of him. Don't even know him. But thank God. Yeah, we need more people like that. I saw another video today of people trying to loot a tobacco store, and the owner or the clerk, whoever was inside, and somebody outside both had weapons and both chased the looters out. There must have been 5 or 6 of them. Chased them all out. Luckily, I don't think they had to shoot anybody, which is awesome. They drew their weapons and away ran the perps, you know. Hey, while I'm talking about this, let's just transition over to this freaking bizarre story I want to tell you about Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland, Oregon. So I came up with this idea that he's either a genius or a racist or both. So let's just look at this. So So Ted Wheeler's one of these progressive Democrat mayors. And you all know Portland, Oregon. Hell, it's been in the news for 2 years at least, 3 probably, because of all the riots that went on and all the businesses that have been destroyed. And a few people died along the way at the hands of the demonstrators. Ted Wheeler's, you know, his response to this crime in Portland has been, you know, his idea was, look, you know, far too many minorities are arrested. We gotta even out the books. So instead of arresting more, you know, non-minorities, he decides they're not going to arrest the minorities who are committing, you know, a percentage of the crimes and a percentage of the homicides and, you know, a percentage of those Victims are also minorities, but apparently that doesn't matter to Ted Wheeler. And what I was thinking is maybe this guy, maybe the whole time he was just kind of planning like, hey, if we just quit arresting people, maybe they'll eventually kill each other and we won't have to deal with it, which that's never worked in the past either. Let me just read some of the stuff from this story. Okay, Portland has a new study on murders that have skyrocketed in the city during the last couple of years. By the way, Lars Larson actually picked up this report first, and he put out this little article. I don't know if you know Lars, like him or not. I like him. He's been doing this a long time, man. He has got thick skin for sure. Its results will only surprise the clueless, like Portland Mayor and Police Commissioner Feckless Ted Wheeler. Portland's murder rate, when you take the population into account, has gone from around 3 killings per 100,000 people when Ted took office to more than 13 per 100,000, a more than 400% increase. Black citizens only make up 6% of the city's population, but more than 40% of the murderers, and black citizens are the victims more than 47% of the time. The study goes on, they spill out some gobbledygook here about, you know, why these people are involved in murders and being murdered, and, they put their classical academic spin on it. It says about 70% of both victims and their killers had been involved in crimes before. Most of them, 58%, had a prior felony conviction. That's both murderers and victims. The average killer had already been arrested for 6 different crimes, and the average killer's victim had been arrested 8 times. I don't know why I'm laughing, honest to God. It's horrible if you think about it. But it kind of goes back to what I was saying. Is Ted Wheeler a genius or a racist? Because, you know, if he thought, okay, we're just going to let these people kill each other, I mean, they're doing a pretty good job because, you know, 58% of them had prior convictions. Most of them, 58%, had a prior felony conviction. That's both murderers and victims. The average killer, yeah, I already said that. Not a surprise if you're paying attention. Heck, the FBI has told me, that's Lars Larson, that more than 60% of homicides involve criminal gangs. So it's kind of crazy. Wheeler has allowed this to go on. He's a BLM Antifa sympathizer, and he's allowed he basically told business owners in Portland, yeah, we're not going to do anything about this. Thanks for doing business in Portland, and thanks for paying your taxes, you know, your state tax, your federal tax, your city tax, and probably, you know, a bunch of fees for doing business in Portland. By the way, we're not doing a damn thing for you. Yeah, that's Ted Wheeler. And the crime goes on. We're already at 51 homicides this year. That's a record for this time of year. The over-under in Vegas is that Portland will have 100 homicides by the end of the year. And I'm pretty much guessing we'll go over that. Nothing's going to change. Wheeler, he's the mayor, you know, and he has no, being the mayor, he's also the police commissioner, which is really weird. I don't know if that's normal in every single city or whatever, but so he's the police commissioner, which means he hires and fires the chief of police. And because of everything that's happened in Portland over the past several years, they have an extreme shortage of officers in Portland. Like, the people, they're not responding to domestic violence unless somebody is actually seriously hurt. I think they even said headed to the hospital or at the hospital. They're not even going to respond. They don't even have enough detectives and investigators, you know, to, like, investigate murders efficiently, you know. Yeah, it's pretty ugly in Portland, which is why I don't go there. But if you live there, man, you better be protecting yourself because there's nobody there to protect you. Yeah, it's pretty lawless. Pretty lawless in Portland, and it's pretty filthy too. It's unbelievable how horrible that city has gotten in the past, I don't know, 6-10 years. Just horrendous. I wanted to go back to this shooter in Indiana, because this was one of those things that really kind of pissed me off. So one of the local news reporters in Indiana actually asked the question if the young man who stopped the killer was allowed to carry a gun in that mall. And this is where I think education has failed so many people, especially, you know, the more recent generations. They have no idea what the Second Amendment is about. They have no idea what the Constitution is about. The question, like, there shouldn't, like, this person should have some idea that the Second Amendment allows you to protect yourself. Hey, the bad guy didn't care whether there was a no guns allowed sign on the mall. He didn't care. The point is, you should be asking yourself, Ms. Reporter, when did man start putting in place laws that jeopardized us all? Like, whose idea, whose brilliant idea was it to make schools a gun-free zone and then basically make our children and grandchildren targets, a target-rich environment? A reporter, man. Well, was he supposed to have a gun in that mall? Are you freaking stupid? Who cares? I mean, seriously, are you thinking you're going to open some kind of a investigation over whether or not the good guy should have had a gun in the mall, which is exactly why I carry a gun pretty much everywhere? I don't care what their sign says on the door. I don't care what they say about me carrying a gun. They're never going to know. As long as you don't flaunt it, they're never going to know. As long as you only pull that weapon out when you have to kill somebody because they're killing somebody, they're never going to know. So they can, target's a perfect example, which I always think is hilarious. They literally have a target as their icon, as their symbol, a target, like a bullseye target. But as you walk past the gate to go in to a target, it says no guns allowed. Seriously. Yeah, I ignore that one all the time. And I laugh every time I look at their symbol. And I don't really shop at Target. I don't even know where the nearest Target is. Probably in Salem, I'll bet. Yeah. Why isn't the mainstream media taking this moment and actually running with it? Like, we need more people with guns out there in the community. We need more good guys with guns out there in the community. Not, well, was he supposed to have his gun in the mall? Shut up. How about you go, how about tonight you crack open the Constitution and just familiarize yourself with the words in the Constitution, and then come back and ask yourself how freaking stupid that question was. And they're all the same. Man, I've talked about the mainstream media, and even locally, your local media, well, I can't talk for everybody, my local media, they're all the same. They all read the same script. They all have the same agenda. They all push the same agenda. You don't hear all this stuff about, you know, 2,000 mules and how many votes were, you know, basically made up for the last election, how ballot boxes were stuffed. They haven't even mentioned it, much less discuss the technology that went into showing exactly what was going on. They don't even talk about it. You know, they just sit there and read, you know, their little stories that, you know, mainstream media sends to them. Like, here's a good way to talk about guns tonight. It's saddening, really. I mean, really, the one thing good about the way that the internet has gone, you really don't have any need to watch any local coverage. I kind of like the personalities on my local Fox News channel. You know, they're nice people. You know, sometimes they're funny. And yeah, they're, you know, they show the right emotions at the right time, I guess. But gee, many Christmas. How humiliating it must be to have gone to college to get your journalism degree and come back and sit in front of a camera and read a bunch of lies and trash. I mean, that's kind of the good thing about doing it, about being the change. Being the change as a podcaster. Doesn't matter how big your audience is. It really doesn't. You know, if somebody comes and listens to your podcast, well, you've got an ally. You know, and they may tell somebody about your podcast. And you're able to tell the story the way you see it. You're able to get the facts out where somebody else, you know, there's a hole that needs to be filled somewhere in your community. You know, and you could be the one that's, you know, that's telling the truth. You know, it used to be cool to be counterculture. Seriously. Not so much anymore. Although it looks like things are changing in that aspect of the internet and social media too, but not fast enough. Oh my God. So, I came up with this scenario. I have not heard this anywhere else. I've heard stuff that sort of... Cowboy Tech, holes need to be filled. Trust me, I'm a dentist. I came up with this scenario, and I was thinking, this makes perfect sense. So you probably heard the scenario about that Gavin Newsom from California meeting with Biden's wife and frickin' Montana or something, and maybe they were having the talk hey, Biden's not really doing good. Let's get rid of Kamala. Put me in as VP. Biden can call it quits, and I'll take over as president. Okay, I heard that somewhere. But I've got a scenario that makes a hell of a lot more sense. Sort of. So let's say that Biden becomes too senile and frail to complete his term. Let's not look any further than that right for the moment. But if he's too senile or mentally incompetent, which I think you could make an argument for that easily, even at this point, but going forward, it's only going to get worse. If he's too senile and frail to finish his term, wouldn't he also be too senile and frail to testify in court or to withstand a trial of any type whatsoever? You know, with stuff going on in, you know, China and Ukraine and Russia, real stuff that can be tied back to him. Yeah, he'll be too old and frail to continue and to be tried, which he should be. I think he'd be too old and frail to withstand a impeachment, and you know that that's coming. I mean, for crying out loud, that's been the standard operating procedure for the past, I don't know how many presidents, three, two, one, you know, it's like, okay, open the floodgates. You tried to impeach Trump. We're going to impeach Biden. You, and I mean, good Lord, you know, I don't know if there's really any justification for it. I'm not really into that kind of law or anything like that, but you know it's coming. Yeah, you know it's coming. He'll never be with, he'll, how could he go answer any questions about impeachment when he can't even read the teleprompter correctly? So I don't think they would let him stand an impeachment trial. I think the minute that any kind of hint of that comes, they're jerking that. There'll be somebody, he'll be reading from the teleprompter, and you'll just see the shepherd's hook come out from the side and kind of grab him by the neck and just jerk him off stage just like that. And they'll be like, and then Kamala will, she'll pop up like a jack-in-the-box, you know. She'll pop up from under the stage and just take over where Biden left off. Oh, my goodness. What a world we are living in. But I'm still grateful, man. I'm still counting my blessings, honest to God, every day. I had a, so we had a friend of the family here today, Whitney. I've probably talked about her a few times. It's Crystal's best friend, one of her best friends from high school. Whitney was here, and they're heading off to the lake, and Whitney's, like, dating. So this guy came out here to meet her and head out to the lake with her and Crystal and Sheck and the whole bunch. They're all gone. Well, so I met the guy. Seems like a nice guy. Asked him what he did. Well, he works at ADEC, which is Dental Supply Manufacturing Company. And then I started, he said, man, you guys have a really nice spot up here, you know, your location, the view. And I go, hey, you don't even know the half of it because you've only been standing here a few minutes. I go, let me show you a couple things before you go. Because they were packing up cars and he was kind of standing around waiting. And I had the opportunity just to point out a couple of the blessings that I see every single day right here in my home. Every single day I get to look at something that brings me great pleasure, you know, besides my family, my wife, and my animals, but just sitting here looking at this beautiful spot that I have for now. Thank God, let me have it for a while. Okay, okay, we're going to talk about something sort of fun and sort of really crazy, okay? So this story came up, so actually this story I originally found on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, I just want to mention two places. I listen to Coast to Coast for entertainment, but I only listen to shows that are good. So I'll look and see if they covered something really awesome, like cryptozoology or aliens or I don't know, conspiracies, just stuff that is a little weird and a little fun. But, so I was on their site, and they had this, it's a video. I'm not going to play the video, because there's no sound. It's just a video. But this is what it is. The title is Nightmarish Elk Boneyard Discovered at Base of Idaho Mountain. Hang on. Got to get a drink too. One sec. Oh. So this is what they think happened. There was probably like a herd of elk standing on the side of a mountain. And either an avalanche or a mudslide gave way. And they say there's like 15, at least 15 elk that all got washed down to this one spot, and all the bones are all scrambled up there in the mud and dirt and debris. And that's kind of crazy because, you know, you think elk are pretty dang agile and they wouldn't be caught by surprise. But apparently, three of these elk had a GPS collar on them. So that's one way that the, the Idaho Fish and Game or whatever they're called in Idaho, they knew that these elk were probably deceased because their collars quit moving. And maybe there's actually some monitor on the collar, you know, that monitors heart rate or temperature or something. And, you know, it sent back a signal that, hey, your elk is dead. Anyway, kind of an interesting sight, man. There's like 15 animals so far. They didn't really start unearthing them yet. Like, it's not like an archaeological dig. They just like, oh, here's 15 dead elk all piled up in one place and all this mud and debris. And maybe they'll go through it, you know, I don't know. Who knows if they have that kind of money. Maybe they'll just shrug their shoulders like, oh, yep, landslide killed a bunch of elk. Move on, nothing to see here. But I thought it was damned interesting. The only other thing I've ever seen like that is when they talk about some of these places where dinosaur bones have kind of all ended up in like a choke point. So you can't, you know, all the dinosaurs died in some disaster and their bones washed down into some, you know, kind of tight V-shaped valley and all the bones couldn't pass through. So they just kind of piled up there and then got fossilized and then, you know, millions of years later, people found them and started digging them out and like, wow, this is crazy. All these dinosaur bones right here. I think there's a place like that in Colorado, maybe. There might be maybe another one in Thermopolis, Wyoming. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Just imagine if this would have been left untouched, probably like what happened in Mount St. Helens, you know, maybe there was something like this that happened when Mount St. Helens erupted. And although I think the elk and the deer were all like, hey, this mountain's, you know, shaking and rattling. We're out of here. And, but maybe, you know, when it erupted and blew, you know, the side of the mountain off and all that lava and silt and cinder and stuff, it could have washed a bunch of elk, a herd of elk into some, you know, snag like this. And maybe millions of years from now, somebody else will find those bones too. Who knows? But I thought that was an interesting story. We are cruising. I told you, the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media right here. Okay, so we did my Biden scenario. I think there's something at the bottom I wanted to talk about. Oh my God, yeah. Well, let's do this first. Okay, I don't know if you guys have seen any of the videos of Lake Mead. Lake Mead is a lake that serves, you know, well, I don't know, maybe Las Vegas, Los Angeles, the Southern California. But that thing, it's like somebody pulled the plug on that lake. It is going down so fast. They need water desperately. And where are they going to go for water? I mean, yeah, we can, you know, we can pipe water from one place to another, but not for millions of people. We can't instantly create water. And people, I'm telling you, the desperation is going to start setting in. It's going to be like the zombie apocalypse here soon. You go a couple days without water, you know, you're going to get serious. You're going to want to survive. They have water police in Los Angeles. The Department of Water and Power has deployed such officials to respond to community complaints regarding water waste. Like, I have two views on this whole thing, too. Like, number one, if you actually saw, like, if you, okay, part of the responsibility, I'm sure, is the media. Like, if the media actually showed you, hey, you live here, and they show a little, you know, put a little red pin on the map in Google, and then they take another pin and they put it over on Lake Mead, and they go, now look, I'm going to show you your water supply, and they do a little time lapse over the last 10 years of Lake Mead going down drastically, and then they tell you, look, we don't have very much water left. Would you please not water your lawn? I mean, you would hope that you would be smart enough to do two things. Number one, you would look at that and you'd go, you're right. I am not going to water my lawn because number two, my ass is out of here. I am leaving. If that's all the water we got for a few million people in Southern California, yeah, I'm gone. And you would like immediately go out, get in your car, grab your gun first because you're going to need some fuel and a lot of it. And you're probably not going to be able to afford it, so you're going to have to steal from... I'm not going to go into the big scenario. But yeah, you know, go somewhere where there's water. Where there's not somebody else's water. You know, go somewhere where there's not some government agency trying to decide whose farm water rights they're going to buy so that less water gets used out of Lake Mead or less water gets used out of the Klamath Basin here in Oregon so more water reaches California. Yeah, go somewhere where somebody has a well that puts out about 10 gallons a minute and there's no restriction on how much you can use. Or go somewhere, find some land that's got a mountain spring on it where you can just, you know, drink the water right out of the spring. Do not stay in Southern California. But this is what's going to happen. You all know what's going to happen. There's going to be no water. Which is going to be crazy because California is going to empty out like crazy. And where are they going to go? Well, they're probably going to come to Oregon. I mean, we're the closest state that's greener in vegetation than California. And they are just going to mosey on north until they find water. So probably the first place will be the Klamath Basin, which is already short of water. And we're going to put an undue amount of stress on the Klamath Basin. And people are going to have to move further north, you know, to the Willamette Valley and to the Columbia River Valley and further north into Washington until, you know, we've used up all those resources too. That's kind of a long-term scenario, but still, you know, imagine that water is not only for people to drink, but yeah, it's for watering crops too. It's for growing food. And there's a tremendous shortage coming our way. We just picked up a book this week. My daughter did. I'm trying to steal it from her. It's called The Medicinal Plants of the Pacific Northwest. And it turns out that we happen to live in an area that has a ton of edible plants. Like, not just medicinal as in will cure what ails you, but medicinal as in, yeah, you can eat this. So when I laid my eyes on it, I was like, how am I going to get that book away from her for enough time to devour it? But we all work together here, so it'll be cool. I think we'll be fine. But what a great book. You know, it's just awesome that there's so much to eat here in the Pacific Northwest, in Oregon specifically. Okay. This next story, this is what I've been trying. Okay. It's an example of how stupid electric vehicle ownership is. So a 17-year-old girl in Florida, she's getting her first vehicle and her parents wanted to buy her first vehicle. So she's you can't blame her she's grown up in this school system that drills into your head about having a green economy. So she wants an electric car. So she buys an 8-year-old electric car. She has it for about 6 months. It starts not working and it doesn't work, period. And they take it back to the dealer and they're like, hey, you need a new battery. Oh, okay, no problem. How much is a new battery? First of all, let me tell you this. The girl bought the 8-year-old electric car for $11,000. The new battery was $14,000. So just imagine this. You just paid probably a little more than the car was worth at $11,000. And now you need a car battery that cost $14,000. Here's the bad news. They no longer make the battery. So even if it was $28,000, she couldn't get a new battery. So they basically just wasted $11,000 on a Ford, I don't know, it was a Ford, whatever the electric vehicle Ford was called 8 years ago. You can't even get a battery for it. How stupid is that? Like, there should have been some disclosure right off the bat, like, hey, you're buying this as in, oh, a Fusion, Ford Fusion. Yeah, I think you're right. You're buying this as is, but we just want to give you a tiny bit of heads up here. If that battery isn't any good after, you know, a year, we don't even make one for it. I don't think I would have bought the car knowing that you couldn't even get a freaking battery for it. And number one, I would never be buying an electric car knowing what I know, because they are so dangerous and harmful to the environment. But, you know, this young woman was trying to do the right thing, and, you know, you could kind of see that, but dang, man. I mean, luckily they're only out 11 grand. But God, that had to suck. Yeah. And how much going forward? I mean, if they already don't have batteries for an 8-year-old electric vehicle, just think about this now. So that battery has to be disposed of, which it is hazardous waste. I don't know how much a freaking car battery weighs for these electric vehicles, but I bet it's not light. And you probably have to pay to have it, air quotes, recycled. And then the stuff that's harmful in it, the heavy metals that's in it, the lithium that's in it, is probably harmful to the environment, so it's probably got to be handled a certain way. And hell, these cars now, so that's an 8-year-old electric vehicle. Those cars from when they started really kind of more mass producing electric vehicles, you're going to see more and more of those vehicles and those batteries needing to be recycled. And then we'll see what happens. You know, then we'll see what happens, like how people react to having to pay exorbitant costs to have this freaking electric car battery processed and, you know, removed. And, you know, probably eventually there will be some additional fees that you have to pay to have these batteries recycled. Oh, my God. Okay, probably the craziest thing I heard this week. Hey, let me just take a minute here to tell you guys this, a little self-promotion here. So I'm doing daily upload. Well, I'm trying to do it daily. I should say on days I work, which are getting to be fewer and fewer. Yay for me. I'm doing a little daily thing where I do kind of a 5-minute thing on the motorcycle on the way to work, and I'm uploading those to BitChute, Rumble. I don't think Odyssey, because I think Odyssey doesn't like my GoPro settings or something. But I'm putting them up somewhere, and they're video, so you get to see the ride I have to work, you know, and I think it's fun, so go check those out. You can check out the podcast, you know, in a lot of places where there's podcasts. I know you don't want me to read that list again, but, I mean, go find it if you're not listening live on Real Liberty Media, and you can come to Real Liberty Media and download or listen to the podcast right here. That's awesome. Yeah, so I'm doing that thing. I'm just doing, it's just kind of fun for me. It's like my 5-minute, I don't know, kind of 5 minute thought on the way to work. And I don't know if I'll do it when I start driving the truck again, which means when it starts icing up. But so far, you know, doing it on motorcycle has been a blast, and I've seen deer like a lot, and I try and put them up. Maybe you can see them or not. But yeah, check those out for me. That'd be fun. I think you'll enjoy it. And it's 5 minutes. I mean, if you want to entertain yourself for 5 minutes, you know, go check out those and, you know, kind of maybe start or end your day with something fun. Oh, so Vinny says he loves the ride along. Yeah, I think it's kind of fun. And it's a easy time for me to do that. Plus, you never know what you're going to see on that road, man. I've seen bobcats. I've seen cougars. I've seen deer, coyotes, not a fox, but I've seen rabbits, quail, ground squirrel, everything. I mean, you get to see whatever I see. Okay, this is the craziest thing I've heard this week. Now, that's going a ways because, you know, there's some crazy stuff going on in the world. So for me to pick out the one thing that I think is the craziest thing that I've heard this week is going a ways. Let's see. Why didn't that open? Open Sesame. Okay, there it worked. See? Gender activists push to bar anthropologists from identifying human remains as male or female. Yeah. Their argument is that we couldn't possibly know what gender past humans identified themselves as. So no longer do they want archaeologists to be digging up human bones, let's say an anthropologist. They don't want them digging up human bones and saying, oh, look at this here. This is from a 30 to 35-year-old female. Oh, no, 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 no. Because you don't know how that human being identified at that time. Guess what, you idiots? Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. They didn't have gender confusion back then. They were trying to survive. Like they were hunting and gathering if they were lucky. Yeah. They didn't have any gender confusion. There weren't any little boys running around, you know, wondering if they were a girl. There were little boys and girls who were out, you know, gathering fruits and vegetables or hunting meat. And learning, little boys learning to build fires or, you know. Stop it, Vinny. Yeah, there was no confusion back then. I'm certain there was no confusion. In fact, I heard a good discussion this week that the only reason that you have transgenderism and all this identity crisis right now is because we're so wealthy, we're so well off. The people aren't worried about, you know, where their next meal is coming from, which that may change. I'm saying it's going to change in the next few months, maybe 2 months, 3 months. I think winter's going to suck. But, you know, if you have something pressing, like where am I going to get food tomorrow? You know, I haven't eaten for 3 days. I don't think you no longer care about whether your penis belongs to you or not. You're looking for food. You know, you're not a little girl who's thinking about, you know what, I really wish I had a mustache and beard and I could hack these boobs off. No, you're looking for freaking food. And water. Oh, well, that's a good time to end. Thanks, you guys. I will catch you Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.